cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, 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 and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny, and I'm joined with
Glory.
Correct. And today we've got a weird one. It's a really weird one. I read through the case and I was like, what? Yeah. You know, one of those cold cases, well, unsolved cases that would make a really good movie, if you ask me. But that's just my opinion. So this was more than 50 years ago, okay? And it was when the case is that there was, well, they've named her the Isdal woman because obviously they don't know who she is. So she, her body was found burnt, okay, in Norway's ice valley. How do you die from fire when you're in an ice valley? Just lie in the snow. Is that not going to work? You know, like when you have a hot pan and you put it underwater straight away and it goes. You see, wouldn't that happen to you if you're burning and you lie in the snow?
And you're lying in the snow, yeah.
So why didn't she do that? I don't know. For me, it's a bit weird. But anyway, and you see, 50 years later, we still don't know who she is and how she died. A whole 50 years, guys. That's a long time. So, it was November 29th, 1970, and two young girls and their father were hiking through the Isdalian Valley. That's where her name comes from, which is a few miles outside of the city of Bergen, Norway, when they came across a horrific sight, a woman's body lying on its back, burned beyond recognition. The man and his daughters returned to the city and reported the body. But unfortunately, this was just the beginning of what would become a decades-long mystery with more questions than answers. So, the more the investigators looked into the case, the stranger it became. The woman had left behind a strange trail of coded messages, disguises, and fake identities. Even with DNA testing, police failed to identify the woman. The case of the Isdal woman was reopened in 2016, but so far, over 50 years after her body was found, her identity still remains a mystery. So here is everything we actually know about the case and about the Isdal woman as of today. So when police were told of the dead body burned in the woods, a small party ventured out to retrieve it, obviously. I mean, they're not going to leave it there. Among them was police lawyer Carl Holven. I don't know how to say his surname. It's all Norwegian. Funny surnames. Yeah. AAS. How would you say that?
That's quite interesting.
You get why I say that's interesting.
And okay.
How would you pronounce that?
Say his name, like his first name.
Carl Halvor.
Oz.
It sounds funny.
It sounds weird. Maybe it's just because we're thinking about it weird.
Yeah, I think because we're associating it with English.
Yeah.
As of 2016, when the NRK reopened the investigation, he was the last living person from the party. Okay, and I'm going to quote. He said, "The first thing we noticed was the stench. I remember we were walking and sometimes climbing above the scree slope. As we hurry along, I'm wondering where we were heading for because it all seems so steep and impossible. This was no hiking trail, that's for sure." So it's already, finding her body is in a very weird and well, you know when it's a location that it's difficult to get to, right? Yeah. So when they reached the body, they began tossing around theories. Some officers wondered whether a woman had fallen into a fire and launched herself backward in a panic. Others wondered if there was a murderer lurking somewhere in the forest. And our police lawyer Carl said, it was not a pretty sight. The question is whether someone set her on fire or if there were other causes. Yeah. So I'm going to show you. I have a picture. You can Google this for all those listening. But I'm going to show you a picture of the body. Do you see her?
Yeah.
It's a bit nasty.
Disgusting.
It's really nasty. Like, that's, bleh, like, look at her foot. Yuck. Okay. Yeah. The corpse was sprawled out in a boxer or fencer's position with its arms outstretched in front of its upper body, a common position for bodies that have been burnt alive. That's an interesting fact. Nearby police found the charred remains of the woman's belonging, bits of clothing, an umbrella, two melted plastic bottles, a half bottle of cloister liqueur, and a plastic cover for a passport, and much more. But these items offered little insight into the who the woman was. In fact, it seemed as if every trace of identification had been deliberately wiped clean. There were no markings or any of, on any of her belongings. Manufacturing labels had been cut off the burned clothing, and even the labels on the water bottles had been removed. Now, if you ask me, that's already suspicious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The fact that even the labels on the water bottle, like, what is that? I mean, if you give me a water bottle with, I don't know, what's a water brand? Fiji water. I'm not going to be able to tell who you are. Anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking with the BBC, forensic investigator Tomald Bones noted another odd thing about the woman's belongings. She had a watch and jewelry, but she wasn't wearing any of these items. Instead, they had been placed next to her. Weird, right? And she said, and I quote, "The placement and location of the object surrounding the body was strange. It looked like it had been some kind of ceremony."
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Eyewitness reports also did little to help identify the woman. From the, what the police could gather, the woman was around 5'4", aged 25 to 40, with long brownish back hair, a small round face, brown eyes, and small ears. At the time of her death, she wore her hair in a ponytail tied with a blue and white print ribbon. But just who was this woman? What happened to her? And why, despite not having the answers to these questions, did the police close the case after only a few weeks? A few days after the woman's body was found, the police made another bizarre discovery. Two suitcases had been left at the Bergen Railroad Station's luggage department. Inside one, they found prescription-free glasses, and they had a fingerprint on the lens, which matched the fingerprints of the Isdal woman's. Finally, it seemed that they were one step closer to learning the woman's identity, because they've now got her whole suitcase. There's got to be something in here that says, who is this woman? Alongside the glasses, police found a variety of items, including clothing, wigs, a comb, a hairbrush, cosmetics, eczema cream, teaspoons, and currency from Germany, Norway, Belgium, England, and Sweden. So that's a lot of cash, right? But once again, the forensic investigator said, all the labels that could have identified the woman, her clothing, her belongings had been removed. The woman's name had even been scratched off the eczema cream tube, and no major department stores could find a match for any of her clothing. To complicate matters further, police found what appeared to be a coded note among the woman's belongings, which they later cracked, believing to be a code which indicated the hotel she had stayed at and when. The only useful piece of evidence they found in the suitcases was a plastic bag from Oscar Rotfett's, again, I'm so sorry, I don't speak Norwegian, footwear store in Stavanger. The owner's son, Rolf, recalled that he had sold a pair of boots to a very well-dressed, nice-looking woman with dark hair who took her time choosing her boots. The boots in question, police believe, matched those found at the scene of the Isdal woman's death. Using this as a base point, they were able to actually trace her to a nearby hotel, but found she checked in using a false name, Fenila Lorch. In fact, she had stayed at a few different Norwegian hotels leading up to her death, but in each case she used a different alias. Sometimes she was Genevieve Lancia, other times she was Claudia Tilt or Claudia Nielsen. She also used the names Alexia Nazemirchez, Vera Jarle, and Elizabeth Lienhofbrer. Yes, that's a very interesting name. The waitress from one of the hotels at which the woman stayed remembered the woman. She told BBC, "My first impression of her was that it was one of elegance and self-assuredness. In fact, I remember her winking at me. From my perspective, it felt as though she thought I was staring a bit too much at her." On one occasion, she added, "While I was serving her, she was in the dining hall sitting right next to, but not interacting with, two German Navy personnel, one of which wasn't an officer." All these strange clues, paired with the fact that her death happened in the midst of the Cold War, contributed to the theory that the Ilsdal woman may have been a spy.
Yeah. Interesting.
What's more, some clues suggested her movements lined up with the trials of the Norwegian Penguin missile in 1960s. Still, despite all of this, police were no closer to finding out who this woman was. At the start of the investigation, the woman's autopsy revealed a few key things about her. She hadn't been pregnant and she had never given birth. There was a bruise on her neck which indicated she may have taken a serious fall or a blow, but she had not been ill. Then there were smoke particles within her lungs which shows that the woman was alive while she was burning. And they had definitely concluded that petrol had been used. Additionally, around 50 to 70 sleeping pills were found in the woman's stomach, but they had not been fully absorbed into her bloodstream when she died. The autopsy ultimately concluded that she died from a combination of carbon monoxide poisoning and the sleeping pills, and that she may have in fact died by suicide. Our detective, Mr. Carl, or cop, whatever he was, said, "We talked about it in the police, but as far as I remember, very few thought it was suicide. I do not believe it was suicide." Still, it was the closest thing they had to an answer, and the case was closed in 1971. The woman's body was given to a Catholic funeral attended by police officers. But even with the case officially being closed, there were those on the force who couldn't let it go. And that's why 46 years later, in 2016, the NRK journalists and the Norwegian police decided to reopen the case, hoping that modern advancements in forensic technology and DNA analysis might help to answer some of the lingering questions of the case. Who was this woman? Why was she in Norway? And why did she die so deep in the Dalian Valley? Crime reporter Nant Harvick is among those who never accepted the suicide explanation for the case, and I quote, "Personally, I'm totally convinced that it was murder. She had various identities, she operated with codes, she wore wigs, she traveled from town to town and switched hotels after a few days. This is what the police call conspiratory behavior." Finally, many years later, scientists have created a full DNA profile of the woman. They know she was European and are working with police forces across Europe to find a match. As of time of writing, however, as in of this article, no match has been found and the woman's identity remains a mystery. Still, investigators are closer than ever before to solving the puzzle. The only time will tell the truth is ever uncovered. So, I believe it was murder. Of course I believe it was murder. What boring other explanation can we accept? So first of all, I do, it was in the midst of the Cold War, and the Cold War was notorious specifically from Russians and the Americans to have spies all over the place. It was not something unheard of. In fact, they would even have sleeper agents who would go and basically set up a life in a different country and not do anything until they were called. And so basically they were sleeping as agents, just doing everyday life. And then the minute they were needed, they would wake up and be in active duty. And so I have no doubt that she had some role. The fact she had multiple wigs, different currencies. I mean, that's all very Tom Cruise missing in permission. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely feel that was the case. However, her death is very suspicious. I don't know, did someone find out what happened? Because first of all, the fact that there was petrol, I mean, you gotta be one hell of a depressed person to put petrol on yourself and light yourself on fire. I mean, if she was going to commit suicide, I believe the sleeping pills would have been enough. Why then also light yourself
on fire?
Do you get what I'm saying? So I definitely think something happened there. I don't know. Maybe she was force-fed the 70 pills and then burned alive. We don't know. But I definitely believe another thing that I think was a bit suspicious is if it was just suicide, right? Why was all her other stuff burnt?
Mm.
They said the water bottles had been melted. But why were those lit on fire? Why did she light that on fire? Do you get what I'm saying? That for me is also a bit side eye. And the other side eye fact is just the watch and her earrings being placed next to her.
Next to her.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if you are on fire...
Or do you think maybe if there's any chance that she committed suicide, she just like removed the stuff?
No, but okay, think about this, right? You're burning with fire. You're not just going to lie there.
Fair enough.
I don't even care if you're trying to commit suicide. That stuff is gonna burn. You're not gonna just lie there happily on the floor. I don't care how much you want to die.
Although, if you look at that picture, she didn't look like someone who was just like, you know, chilling on the beach. Her positioning
exactly,
was...
Exactly. It looks like she was running around and she fell over once she like died, right?
Hmm.
But if that's the case, how did the watch and earrings end up exactly next to her?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, that for me is a bit suspicious.
Hmm.
And like, I don't know. Yeah, that's... And you know what else makes sense? Spies, when they become spies, the governments they work for do erase their whole identity. You will not find documentation of them. The fact that they had fingerprints from her and couldn't get a solid ID, that is also very suspicious. Because in the 70s, there were driver's licenses and stuff like that. There was identification. That's something that could have been picked up. Even now, with fingerprint technology, we could have picked up if there was a fingerprint in the system.
Yeah.
But as a spy, everything about your old life is like literally, well, excuse this, but it's literally burnt. It's like gone. It's destroyed. There is no evidence of you, which is why they cannot find this woman anywhere. And so I also think another thing that, and this is just on character behaviors, all the people who said they'd seen her said she acted very confident and very assured of herself. That also gives up, like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, she wasn't trying to be out there, but she held herself in a certain regard. So for me, definitely believe she had some call, spy, agent, whatever you want to call it. I definitely think. As for her death, I do suspect suspicion. I think it's just too weird. And like I said, like it also takes a lot for you to be burnt in the middle of literal ice valley.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Hopefully, we'll find an answer. Yeah. I don't know if we'll find... Maybe, potentially, they could identify the woman. Very slim chance that they could identify the woman. But I don't know if there's any hope of finding out what actually happened to her. Because even if they identify her, that doesn't necessarily lead us any closer to...
Yeah, what happened.
What happened to her. But who knows? We never know. So yeah, that is the mystery of the Isdal woman. Honestly, quite an interesting one. Quite a bizarre one. The last time we did a bizarre one was... the man who was found on the beach, you know, the Somerton beach, where he was literally just lying there in his suit. So I love these cases. They would make great books or great movies if someone wants to write that for me. But yeah, I found this one. It's intriguing because, again, you can come up with so many theories, but you'll never actually know what happened. It's crazy. Yeah. Well, do you want to add anything before we finish?
Nothing else.
Well, That's it for this show. We hope you enjoyed. And if you have any crazy theories, well, I'm sure the world would like to hear it. But otherwise, we really hope you enjoyed. And we'll see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.